Thank you, Jeff. Well, it's good to be here, isn't it? Yes. Amen. What a joy and honor it is to be able to worship God together. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's important, you know, it's amazing how long this coronavirus is hanging on. And, you know, as a church, we have a part to play to be praying and, you know, taking authority over some things, but people need to recognize and understand that it's always all a ploy to get us away from where we're supposed to be. Amen. I mean, it's been people not only in this church in Allegheny, but churches, you know, and talk with other pastors that people have just stopped coming to church because of the coronavirus, you know, and it's like we have a healer that things are available to us, and so just always know that the devil's trying to take you out from where you're supposed to be. And the first thing he tries to do is to steal. And if he can steal from you, he can kill and destroy from you. And so go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll go to verse 10. And this is part two of the service that we started last week about living full. And we've been excited about this because we saw some things last week that we'll review that, man, this would really change a lot for us. If we really would live this way, it would change a lot. You know, Jesus lived full of God all the time. I mean, he not only was he was God, but, you know, he was human in flesh and had to pray. He had to seek God. He had to fill himself up. But he lived full all the time. And we don't see Jesus with mood swings. We don't see Jesus with depression or fear or worry or anxiety. And he faced some things that would be heavy to the flesh and the mind. And he lived full. So we want to live full. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." And I was looking at the Amplified with this verse. It said, "We are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God has predestined or planned beforehand," notice this, "for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time." So God's prepared paths for each of us. Whether or not we're on them or not, I don't know, but he's prepared those for us. And he says that we should walk in them. Well, what happens when you walk in them? You live the good life or the abundant life of the heaven on earth life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And so we're trying to get people, and that's really my goal as a pastor, get people on the plan. Yeah. Get people on the purposes for God, for your life. And the plan can be, you know, a whole thing, a big, you know, general thing, but also there's individual things within the plan, right? Marriages and jobs and should I buy this house? Should I do this? Should I do that? Not do that? And there's things within it. And we saw last week in Proverbs 3 that God said, "I want to be part of it all." He said that if you trust in me with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings. And then he said, "In all your ways, acknowledge me." Well, when he says acknowledge me, what's he saying about himself? He's saying acknowledge me in all your ways because I already know the answer, the direction, the situation, circumstances, what to turn, how to change that. I already know it, so acknowledge me in all your ways. And then he said, and then I will direct your paths. Well, direct them where? Onto the ones he's already prepared and made ready for you. To what? Live the good life. And so God is not a hide and seek God. He's a show and tell God. He's saying, I want to direct you on these plans. And these plans that we're talking about when it's his plan, the word is his plan. Amen. Forgiveness is his plan. Walking in love is his plan. Faith is his plan. What you do with your finances, it's part of his plan. Or you could say it this way to make it seem a little bit easier to understand. His plan is his will. And the blessing is found in his will. And we want to get into his will. And thank God he's saying, acknowledge me and I'll tell you what my will is. And then we looked at Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 17. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but a wise person would understand what the will of the Lord is." So he's saying, you want to know what the will of the Lord is because that's where the blessing is, found in his plan or his will. And then it went on to say this, "And be not drunk with wine, where, notice that word and, that means it's connected to the verse before. It says, and be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So he's given us a key there to know God's plan and to not be unwise. It's as simple or as easy as filling up on God. To be filled with the Spirit means to be filled with God. But when you're filled with God, you're filled with the God that what? Knows every step you need to take. Knows every move you need to make. Is that a song? Every step I take. See, all these people, God is the original author of all these songs. And if you're filled with Him, you're filled with what? Those answers and that knowledge. And so he's saying that the key to finding out God's will or finding out God's plan is just be filled with Him, right? And then we saw, we don't need to turn there, but in Luke 4 it said what? That Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. But what did it say before he was led? Jesus, being full, was led. Full of what? The Holy Ghost. Full of God. Well, what's he saying? What's he trying to show us here? That if you want to be led onto the paths of God, you want to be led into the plans, the prearranged life, these decisions, these things you have to, you're wondering about, just be filled with God. That's all you have to do, is just be filled with God. But notice, being full precedes being led. He said, I'll direct your paths, but you need to be full of Him. Why? Because when you're full of Him, you'll yield to Him. You'll hear Him. You'll be sensitive to Him, right? You know, I mentioned on this on Sunday that someone had mentioned to me about, you know, the people that had written the Bible and how sensitive they must have been to be in a place to hear the detail that they wrote, right? I mean, because these aren't men and human beings' words. They're from God. They were penned by human beings, but they came through a person, and so they needed to be in tune with it. But here's the thing, is that God back then is the same as God right now. God, throughout the years, when cultures change and internet came and technology and busyness increased, because how many of you know back then, they had distractions, no doubt, human beings always will, but they didn't have distractions like we have now. I mean, there's things all the time, right? And so here we have a God that's the same. And back then, they have to hear His voice and be sensitive. Well, they can't be filled up on a whole lot of other things, or it's going to muddy what He's saying or cloud what He's saying. And so they had to be sensitive to hear that. But nowadays, there's so much going on. We've structured our life to fill in the blanks in everything, you know, and God at times becomes this, you know, on the blip of our radar, you know, He's just like a little, or the radar, He's just a little blip. And all these other things are more in the center, you know, job and school and recreation and this pursuit in life. And God's just kind of up here. But yet there's times we need to hear His voice. We need to know what He's thinking. We need to know, because there's nothing that you're going through. This is such a great revelation to have. There's nothing that you're going through that you've been stuck in that God is confused about how to get you out. There's not one thing that you're facing that God is struggling to know the answer. In fact, He's saying, acknowledge me because I have the answer. But extracting that answer, or Him being able to lead us to different things that we might have to do. You know, I talk about my house testimony, and within that house testimony, it didn't just fall into my lap. There were specific things that the lady now has told us after that we bought it from, that had you not presented that to me, had that not been available, had that not been offered in the deal, I would have never said yes. I mean, there were people that were offering thousands and thousands more than the asking price. We paid tens and tens and tens of thousands less, and she gave it to us because of the specific things the Holy Ghost told me to tell her would be involved in the deal, and that made all the difference in the world. But there again, God knew how to get me into that home. But there were steps that needed to be taken on the manward side, right? That's why we talk about on Sunday that money comes through man's hands. That's why there's patience involved, because sometimes it's got to get through the right channels to get to us. It'll get to us if we keep the switch of faith turned on, but there's human beings involved. But there's nothing that you're facing right now, financially, physically, confused in life with your family, with your kids, with your job, with your business. Let's just say your businessman's struggling. You're not making a profit for 5-6 years in a row, and it's been, he knows the answer. We can never pay our bills year after year. He knows the answer because his will has told you, I don't want you to not be able to pay your bills. You're having trouble with your kids, and there's no peace with your children, and there's division, there's strife there. And it's been going for year and year. Whatever you're doing is not working, but he has the answer. But extracting that answer, right, or being led to him to say, okay, now do this or change this up, to be led onto that path, we have to be able to hear from him. And if we're filled with him, we'll be way more yielded, way more sensitive to him, not stumbling around. I don't want to stumble around through life. You know, the empty life is a life of frustration. It's a life of guessing. It's a life of living by chance. It's a life of playing lottery with important things with your life. We're not called to live a life like that. We can hit the bullseye. Amen? And I want to talk to you today about how to live that filled life, or to live full. In shocker, it's not going to be anything you haven't heard before. Shocker, you know, this stuff is so easy and simple, and it's the same, the Bible never changes. The hard part is us doing it. But you know, one of the things that will help you do it is when you have faith for it. And you know how you get faith for it? You hear it over and over again. I've preached messages like this over and over again, and I still have people come to me and say, Pastor, I've heard you say it over and over again, and finally, after 2 years, I finally did what you said to do. Well, I'm glad you started doing it. But why? The constant hearing. And something finally went off inside of them. And I'm thankful for that, because sometimes I'm a little thick-headed, you know. I'm slow at getting things sometimes, and you have to take my lumps first and think, you know what, maybe I should just try it God's way, right? Walking around the streets of Randolph and the streets of Gowanda, waiting for the answer of where we're going to start the second church, and took my lumps for a while. A lot of frustrating evenings of drives home or afternoon drive home where I'm not hearing anything. It's like, Lord, you said, and, you know, like getting mad at him. How do you expect me to get anywhere else besides Randolph and Gowanda on a Sunday morning? I don't have a private jet. As if it's his issue. And he's up in heaven thinking, moron, you're not going to start church at this place, and it's not even going to be on a Sunday morning. Right? But he's not confused. He's got the answer. And so we take our lumps for a while, but then we start doing the right thing. So are you ready to steps to living full of God? The first thing you need to understand, and so many people have this wrong with God, it's not automatic you have to do something. Okay? It's not automatic. You have to do something. To live a life of fullness of God is not something just because you're a Christian and want that it'll happen for you. If you go to Psalms 107, verse 9, isn't it refreshing to know that he knows how to get us out? That he knows how to change? And talking about the offering message, you know, such a silly thing, wanting to be friends with the Amish, and now some of my best friends are them. Just the fact that he would do that for me tells me he does not want me struggling. He does not want my situation backwards. He doesn't want things with my kids, with my family, with my finances, in my body, and in my mind. He does not want those things to be bad for me. And so many times people have made the mistake and think, well, if he doesn't want it so much, then why are we living that? And if you've made a crucial error. What, taking what God, you know, I said this, someone had reached out to me, it was so precious and sweet, a lady from Allegheny. And I don't mind sharing it because it's a good story. It was Grammy Tammy, we call her out there in Allegheny. And she texted me early in the morning the other day, and I don't know if it was even before 7 o'clock or just a little bit after, you know, and said, Pastor Mike, I need to talk to you. And then she wrote back, it's nothing bad, but I need to talk to you. So I called her, you know, and she's just up and down rejoicing about, I'm just so thankful for our church. I'm so thankful for what it's done for my life, and so thankful for this and that. I'm just praising God with her and all the things God's done. And she said, the first service I came, it was hard enough to get me through the doors, but the first service that I came to, you said something that it was the exact thing I needed to hear, and if you wouldn't have said it, I would have never come back. She said, you can't, and if you are, you have to stop judging God by other people's circumstances. She said, when you said that to me and showed it in the Word, she said, that's what I had been, basically she was getting to, I've been doing that and thinking that, well, people's circumstances, and that's the trap that people fall into, that, well, if God wanted me not to be depressed, I wouldn't be. If God wanted me to be healed, then I wouldn't be sick. And that's, God wants the whole world to be saved, but everyone's not walking around saved. And so you need to know with this being full and all the benefits that come with it, yes, He wants it for you, but Him wanting it for you and you just wanting it will not fill you. In fact, it's amazing where the Bible says faith without works is dead, right? And it says over there in James, I'll show you my faith by my works. That, and he's actually pointing a spotlight on how much works are actually involved once you're saved. It's a life of works. Jesus said, they that do the word. What is that? That's a work. Using faith on your end, it's a work. You walking in love is works. You forgiving is works. You being holy and faithful, it's works. You entering into worship, it's works. You confessing, that's you doing a work. And it's the same with this. In Psalms 107, verse 9, for He satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Longing and hunger sounds different than casual and apathetic. Now go to one we look at and mention all the time, Matthew 5 and verse 6. There is nothing that will change your life more than what being filled with God will. Faith will not be a problem when you're filled with God. Worry will not be a problem when you're filled with God. Anxiety and fear, wrong speaking will not be a problem. Unforgiveness will not be a problem. Depression will not be a problem. Confusion will no longer be a problem. Come on now. There's nothing that can change your life and for you to live at God's highest and best for you on this earth. It's all determined by being filled with Him. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3 that you might be filled with the fullness of Him. What problem is not solved by that prayer coming to pass in a person's life? What problem is not fixed when a human being is filled with God? There's not one problem. Because when you're filled with Him, there's nothing that stumps Him. There's nothing that troubles Him. There's nothing that trips Him up. There's nothing that causes Him to worry and be concerned, right? So when you're filled with Him, that's the results you get. Praise God. So it's important that we get filled with Him. And Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst. There it is again. After righteousness, or God's way of being and doing right. For they shall be filled. That word filled is the word satisfied. You get filled, you live a life of satisfaction. You live a full life, it'll be a life of satisfaction. You know, when, I can tell my own self, but I know for other people it's true as well. When we start getting disgruntled, anyone ever walked in a fence before? Been there. Been there, done that. You know what Pastor Mike was not full of during that offended time? God. You ever been super bitter or angry or stewing over something? You know what you're not filled of when you're that way? God. What was someone that was filled with God? What was their response to people that were nasty and awful to Him? Father, forgive them. Full of God, God came out. Amen. When you're scared and worried, you know what you're not filled with? God. When you're sad and lonely and depressed and bitter and angry and jealous and anything carnal like that, you're just not filled with God. And He said, and those things don't lead to any satisfaction, He said, hunger and thirst, and I'll fill the hungry and the thirsty one. I don't know of anybody that you could ask. I mean, maybe there's some people in the world, but it'd be very rare. that you'd ask them, would you like to be in better shape? Oh, I'm perfect the way I am. Well, maybe some people would say that. I wouldn't, you know. Yeah, there's things, you know, I'd like to change and, yeah, be better. And, but how many of you know, you can't get in better shape by just wanting to be in better shape. You can't get in better shape by wishing it or daydreaming about it or hoping for it. No, to get in shape, you actually have to do something. And what does it come down to? How bad, you know, my suits finally fit me. Why? I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of having certain suits in my closet labeled my fat suits. I'm serious. It's a miracle I can button my suits now. And you just get tired. It's like, okay, you know, I go home and complain, get this thing off. I'm choking myself to death here. Looking online for extenders for my buttons, you know, so I can, you know, wearing the same suits over and over again because I can't fit into any of my other ones. Well, eventually, sit there, you know, oh, I'm going to change. I didn't want it bad enough. It wasn't uncomfortable enough for me. Till finally I put my foot down and said, no, I'm tired of this. And looking at suits in my closet and ones that I don't even have tailored because, my goodness, if I tailor them the way I am now and then I lose a few pounds, we're going to have to do them all over again. And so I wanted something bad enough, right? And then did something different and got change. Well, it's the same thing with God. And how many of you know there's a price to pay in that? You want to get filled with God? You got to want it. You got to hunger for it because it won't come naturally easy. Because there's things you got to do that fight through the natural realm. But you know what I've found? Two things. No one that's ever lost weight and gotten better shape, I've ever heard them say in their mouth, I regret this. I regret feeling better. I regret being able to fit in my clothes better. I regret when I look in the mirror, I'm happier at what I see. I've never heard anybody say, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Or, boy, I liked it better when I was uncomfortable. And this was years ago in the other building. I had a young kid come up to me and say, Pastor Mike. Now, I thought I could fool people by just changing up my shirt and tie. Because, you know, there was a weatherman or a newscaster that tried it for a whole year. You know, he wore the same suit but just changed up his shirt and tie just for an experiment. Well, I wasn't doing it for experiments because I couldn't get in any other suits. And a kid came up to me and they said, Pastor Mike, why do you wear the same suit every single week? It's nice not being asked that question anymore. Amen? Now, if you're at a place and all you have is one suit and that's just what you have, well, let's believe God for more suits. Amen? I'm not belittling that. I'm saying I had extras that I had and couldn't fit into them. Got sick and tired. And I never looked back and say, you know what? I enjoyed those days when little kids were looking at me and saying, what's wrong with you? Or when I asked that girl from the other church one time, does this shirt make me look fat? She said, Pastor Mike, it's your fat that makes you look fat. I miss those days. I liked it better when it was uncomfortable. I could barely breathe trying to button my shirt. There was one time I told you I came out, man, I thought I was going to pass out. I mean, I preached a whole sermon while being choked. I mean, that thing. And I've never heard someone say, when they actually do these things, you know what? I regret having more of God. I regret giving myself more to that and what it's come. Never has anyone said that before. Amen? But there is a price to pay, and it's hunger. And so that's number one. You have to understand you have a job to do. Number two, go to Colossians 3 and verse 16. Again, these are things we've looked at, and we'll just touch on briefly to just remind us. How are you going to be filled with the Spirit, filled with God? Let the word of Christ, dwell in you richly. See that there? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Remember Jesus said in John 6, he said, my words are spirit. So when the word, that spirit is dwelling in you, that word to dwell means to inhabit or to take up residence, right? When that word is dwelling in you, you have the Spirit in you. Because Jesus said, my words are spirit. And it's telling you, let the word dwell. And when you meditate in the word and you receive the word, yes, your mind is being renewed, but your spirit man is eating that up. And that word to dwell means to inhabit. Now think about this. When there's a home that's vacant and a family moves into that home, and their family moves in and their furniture moves in, all their stuff, what was empty is now filling up and getting full. And that's what he's saying. Just like you would inhabit a home like that, fill up, or let the word come in you and make its residency. Let the word dwell in you. Why? It's the Spirit trying to what? Take residency in you and fill you up. What's vacant? Remember when it talked about when the devil gets cast out and it goes about and it comes back, and when it finds that home swept clean and nothing put in it, they come and it's seven times worse for the person. Well, when it says it comes back, and I've done this when I've ministered to people concerning their mind and demonic oppression, we can lay hands on you when there's anointing, and we can speak over you, and there will be a relief because of that anointing. But then you have homework to do. You have to then fill up with the right things. And then what that's saying is when that spirit comes back, that devil comes back and finds that home, talking about a person, swept clean, there's nothing put back in, it's worse for them. During that time when that thing was gone and the relief was there, they should have been filling up on something. They should have been furnishing the inside. What do we furnish ourselves with? The word. Let the word dwell in you. Now, Matthew chapter 4. Again, what is this? I've heard this before. We've known this. I know, but it's in the doing. It's in the doing. You know, there's a whole, I don't want to belittle this profession when I say this, so please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm just saying this is the gist. You know, there's different techniques of working out, and there's different training things that have come about. But really, the grand scheme of getting in shape really isn't a whole lot of rocket science. It's consistency and faithfulness to do the right things, right? I mean, if you'll just get out and start walking, if you're not even walking, you just get out and start walking 30 minutes a day, that's going to change things. If you just start, getting on the treadmill and going for a run, just a little bit a day, that's going to be better than before. And so what I'm saying is, it's not that getting in shape is some rocket scientist thing that only a few can figure out. It's in the doing of those things that comes the complications of it. Because like I said, you can go for walks and just do sit-ups and push-ups and your body will change. If you eat right and do those things, you'll get good results. Now again, I know there's things that you could refine, and I'm not saying that, but the main thing of why people don't change, they just don't do it. It's not because they're not smart enough, it's the doing. Well, it's the same thing here. This isn't complicated rocket scientist stuff, but it's in the doing that the change comes. What does that mean? A submission to allow this thing to move in and take up residency. Amen? Matthew 4, hallelujah, in verse 4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live. Now that word live there is not talking about life and death, your heart beating, pulse. It's talking about zoe. The same word in John chapter 10 and verse 10 where Jesus said, the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you abundant zoe. That's what that Greek word is. That's the same word here. Well, that word zoe is that life of God, the abundant life. Or one way I heard it put that's always stuck with me that helps me to understand it is life like God enjoys. Or what you'd say it this way, heaven on earth. The children of Israel, what? Days of heaven on earth. Jesus prayed, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. We don't have to start partaking of heaven just when we get there. We can have heaven on the earth. And so Jesus is saying, man will not accomplish that. Now, when we get to heaven, it's taken care of. But man will not accomplish that or live the Zoe life by bread alone or by natural things alone. But, he says, it can be accomplished by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so he's saying there needs to be a partaking of this to accomplish that. Just like for us to be successful and accomplish things in the natural realm, we have to partake of natural food to sustain us and help us live naturally. But to live spiritually an abundant life, you are going to have to partake of things spiritually. Come on. Natural man does not live strong and well-nourished by living a lifestyle of not eating things. You can't live your whole life fasting and expect to be strong, right? In fact, when it comes to fasting, I know there's different stages of it, because I went through some of this stuff, and there is, where you get a euphoria and you do get strength and things, and things can heal in your body. I understand that medically, but they also have clinics and places that people can go stay while they're fasting. Why? Because they are going to be weak. They are going to be prone to maybe passing out. They are going to be, just naturally the body's not used to that. Why? The body's used to intaking, and the body for longevity needs to be eating right, needs to be constantly. It's like a machine. It needs to be well-oiled, needs to be fueled up, right? Well, the spiritual man, Jesus is saying, we can't live that abundant life unless we partake. And I love that he used it in terms of a natural man, because then we can kind of see in our own lives what that could look like. Remember they said of Smith Wigglesworth that he would carry a pocket New Testament in his inside pocket. And when he would sit down to eat, either before or after he would eat, I think it was after, he'd say, okay, now I've ate my natural meal, now it's time to partake of my spiritual meal. What was he doing? Making sure his natural man wasn't getting more fed than his spiritual man. Because the natural will look like the spiritual. When the spiritual's rocking, the natural's rocking. When the spiritual's struggling, it's going to show up in the natural. Amen? And so just think about your own life and how that is. And of course, go to Joshua 1:8. I mean, these are verses that we just can go to. And now, I know how I am with food. I don't know how you are, but if you were to look at my life, you would say, man, I think he likes to eat. If you could get in my thoughts, man, he likes to think about food. My mind's thinking, what am I going to have for breakfast? And then I'm thinking, okay, 8 o'clock is a long ways away from 12. Probably should fit something in at 10 to help myself, you know, And then at 10, I'm thinking, wow, where's lunch going to be? What's lunch going to be? And then at 12 to 6, that's a lot of space. Probably should fit something in at 3. That's what my life would look like. A constant partaking of food. Very rarely, right, do you naturally go without food for a whole day, and very rarely do you ever go naturally without food for days at a time. It's just, our lives revolve around it. Dinner time, lunch time, breakfast time, getting together with people, thinking about it, planning out meals. Like, these are things we consciously think about to make sure that we're filling up and feeding on. Well, what if we actually would treat the word like we would treat food? Now, again, it's going to take some natural adjusting. But Joshua 1:8 says, in this book, the law shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate in there day and night. What did I just tell you I do with food? I eat day and night. And night. And I work, and I do other things, and you work, but you find time to eat. Naturally, right? What if we actually did that? Well, it says here, to do according to things that are written there, then your way will be made prosperous, then you'll have good success. You know what that sounds like? Abundant life. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 says the same thing, going down through those verses. Meditate day and night. Be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatever you do will prosper. Proverbs 4, same thing. Incline your ear, right, to my sayings. Life to all their flesh, or life to them, and health to all their flesh. Sounds like abundant life. Giving yourself to the word. And that's what Jesus is saying. If you want to live, if you want to have abundant life, Feed on my word, not just natural things. Amen? So if you want to be filled with God, it doesn't come without being filled with his word. Amen. Let's go. So number one, it doesn't come automatic. Number two, a life in the word. Number three, go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. This stuff is so easy, right? Well, every time, you know, I'd sit down with a trainer and go around the mountain of, well, I'm gonna get in shape this year. This year I'm gonna see my abs at the end of the year. They're gonna tell me the same things. Okay, well, we gotta watch your diet. We gotta do this with working out. And it's like, oh, I've heard this before. Yeah, I know, but the problem is you're not doing it yet. And that's why 2021, I still cannot find my abs. I didn't do what they said. It's not hard. Just do it. Naturally walking out, you gotta be hungry enough for it to do it, but it's not like they're coming up and saying, okay, and then I walk away thinking, oh my gosh, that's rocket science. I could never do that. No, that's really simple. Yeah, but the doing of it's the hard part for you. This stuff is not hard to give yourself to the word. But Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says, and they were all filled with God. See, it says the Holy Ghost, same thing. They were all filled with God and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the initial evidence of people being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. But one of the major ways you can stay filled with God is by the continuing to give yourself over to the speaking in tongues. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14. Remember what it said over there in Ephesians? Praying always. With all prayer and supplication, what? In the Spirit. Well, go to verse 2, actually. One way that you can pray in the Spirit. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But then drop down to verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies or charges himself up or builds himself up. Now, Jude wrote it this way. Beloved, building up yourselves. Actually, go to Jude 20. It's the last book before the book of Revelation. I want to show you something after that that proves if you're filled with God, it fixes a whole lot of problems. When you build yourself up, you're filling up. When you're praying in tongues, you're praying in the Spirit. You're yielding to spiritual things. You're getting filled like they were by speaking in tongues with God. You keep praying in the Spirit. Now, we might look at this in the last point, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, where it says, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, right? Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. In the Amplified, in the Greek would tell you when it says to be filled with the Spirit, it says to be ye filled or be ye continually filled. And the Amplified says ever be filled. So it's an ongoing thing. So yes, they got filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues, but we see out through the book of Acts, they didn't just leave speaking in tongues there. Why? You aren't filled and drunk on yesterday's drink. When you go to the bar and got filled up on that or fill up on the wrong things, that happened, but then you sobered up. You didn't stay drunk for the rest of the week. You'd have to go back and refill. It's the same thing. Be ever filled. So yeah, you initially got filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was for a purpose. It fills you with God and builds you up. But it's meant to be a lifestyle. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, edifying yourself, building yourself up. Now, look what it says there after the word ghost, or look what it has there. It has a comma. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, why is that important to keep ourselves in the love of God? Number one, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Number two, the Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse 6, circumcision is no thing anymore, veils nothing. But faith, which worketh by love, or activates and energizes, your faith is activated and energized by your love. You can't walk in faith without love. Paul said this, though I have faith that I could remove mountains, if I have not love, I'm nothing. So you need love, right? It's important to stay walking in love. But let's be honest, we live in a world where people cut us off and people do nasty things and people are saying things behind our back and people are going out of their way, influenced by the devil, to hurt our lives and things and are being unjust to us and everything natural, eye for an eye, and naturally would say, you know, talk bad about them, do this and that, and we wreck our love walk, right? Because of how carnal we are and we're not. But how many of you know Jesus was the demonstration of perfect love when hell on earth was coming against him? The nastiest people were in front of him that just nailed him to a tree, beat him to a pulp, jammed a crown of thorns on his head, spit on him, cursed at him. And Jesus is saying, forgive them, not strike them down, not talking bad about them. He kept himself in love, which is so important for us. Why was he able to do that? Because he was filled with God. And look what it says, beloved, praying, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying the Lord. So you're building yourself up in God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You want to know how your love walk will be easy? Fill up with God. It's so easy to forgive. See, when you're filled, if we were to bring a sponge up here and we had two different beverages, you know, Kool-Aid and milk, and you dip that sponge in Kool-Aid, when I press on that sponge, Kool-Aid's coming out of that thing, not milk. Well, if I'm filled with God and the world starts pressing on me, guess what comes out of me? God comes out of me. God responses. And how many of you know, not only love is a response, and right, our response is, well, when you take a test, your grade is completely determined on your responses, not the questions, how you respond to the test. Because let's be honest, there are people in my class took the same exact test for me, and they walked out with hundreds, and I walked out barely getting by, same questions. It wasn't the test problem. They were filled with the right thing. And when they got tested, the right thing came out. I didn't take my time to fill up on the right things. Playing video games and sports, staying up late, not filling up. And then when test time came, the wrong things came out of me. Well, it's the same with a Christian. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The right response in faith. Faith is simple. When things press against you that are scary and big and impossible, when you're filled with God, faith is easy. It just comes out of you. You're not even have to try to. You know why we're so equation-oriented with this and step-oriented with this at times? And okay, we got to do this. Because we're not filled with God. And faith becomes a stumbling and tripping around and so mechanical and so dry and like the spirit of it's just sucked right out of it. But when you're filled with God and something pressed, God responses come out of you. Think about Peter. Pre-filled, post-filled. Pre-filled. Hey, were you with Jesus? I sure wasn't. A little girl came up to him and said, I've seen you with him. No, I don't know what you're talking about. He cowered, didn't he? He was a coward. He gave up Jesus. Denied him. And he wept for it, didn't he? Because he remembered. He was completely shattered and brokenhearted, as he should have been. But then we see the same Peter who's afraid to be implicated with Jesus with a mob of people after the Holy Ghost is poured out and people are mocking, saying these men are drunk and they're coming hard against him. Peter standing up in front of the multitude saying, they're not drunk as you suppose, for this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel that in the last days. And then he went on, preached that sermon with fire and thousands of people got born again because Peter, instead of being worried and afraid that he might go to prison with all these people coming against him, it didn't matter. Why? He had just got full of God. So when they pressed on him, God came out. That's the difference. All you naysayers listening online, you know, it's always funny. People get offended. They still listen for a little while because they want to see, is he saying anything about me? All you people, there's refusing to come where God's called you to be because why? I'm mad at this person. I'm mad at that person. I don't agree with you, Pastor Mike. Let me just say something. Because people can question my decisions. You're not planted here based on whether or not you agree with my decisions. If God's put you in a place, then you also must recognize that the person running the show is as human as you are. And there are going to be things that I do that are going to fail, and there's going to be things I do that maybe aren't the right decisions, and things that you don't agree with. But that's not why you are put here. Or that's not why you stay here. Well, I disagree with that decision, Pastor Mike, so I'm not coming anymore. I don't like how you handled that, or what about with this situation? That's not why you're here. You're here because God told you to get your butt there. And you only leave when God tells you to get your butt somewhere else. And so everybody that has the wrong attitude and they're offended and they're upset, it's just because you're really just showing us. You see, I heard this statement once. The stuck pig squeals the loudest. If you have a group of pigs and they're all just doing their pig thing and one of them has an arrow in its rear end, I'm guessing that pig is going to stand out. Whatever they do. Stuck pig. Well, ones that are complaining, ones that are walking. You're just revealing to us what's inside of you. Where's the forgiveness? Where's the mercy? Where's the patience? Where's the kindness? Where's the love? Oh, it's not in there. Because you've been filling up on the world and natural things, and now you've been pressed upon, and sharpness comes out of you, impatience comes out of you. Stuck pig squeals the loudest. You just revealed that you're the one that's been stuck. I'll just mention this real quick. John G. Lake, over 100,000 healed in his ministry. You've heard me say it before. Remember, they put that bubonic plague in his hand. So they put it under a microscope, and it died right there. Just couldn't, the life of God. 100,000 confirmed healings at one time in Seattle, Washington. That state was considered in America in the health community as the healthiest city in America. Ministers come up under him and all these things. And he said, the making of my ministry, a man of faith, fire, and power, has been praying in tongues. That's what he said. I should have started with the Apostle Paul. I mean, hands down, greatest Christian that's ever lived as far as what he accomplished and what he did. We're still feeding off him today. He said, I think, my God, I do it more than all of you. What's he saying? Here's the secret to my success. I pray in tongues all the time. You know, when Paul and Silas were in prison, beaten and naked and stripped down for doing God's work, you know what that would do to most of us? Sad and lonely, depressed. Why is this happening to me? Victim mentality. Why did the Apostle Paul have a victor mentality and have the right response? He had the right things in him. When he got taken, he was already filled with God, and so the right thing came out of him. And that answer to that test was what delivered him. Lifted his voice and prayed and sang praises to God. Why? Because God was in him. You know it. When you start to get a little touchy and grumpy, right? We call it, Abby has a hangry problem. So we're like, we got to fill her up with the right thing. She's showing us she needs to be filled. Get her food now. When we start getting bitter and angry and impatient and not walking in love and short with people and our words are sharp, we're worried, we're fearful, we're anxious, we're impatient, all these things, it just shows us that we're empty. And an empty vehicle eventually is going to start sputtering and not be able to go anywhere. Smith Wigglesworth, a man of miracles, signs, and wonders, raising people from the dead, multiple people, he said, the secret of my success has been praying in tongues. Brother Hagin, he said, as I said earlier, the greatest things that ever happened to me in my walk with God, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial breakthroughs, and the greatest deliverances came after I spent a prolonged length of time praying in other tongues. Why? When you're praying in other tongues, you're filling with God. When you fill with God, you get answers. When you fill with God, you get faith. When you fill with God, you get wisdom. It's the answer. It's the answer. Lester Summerall, same thing, apostle of faith, man of signs, wonders, and miracles. How often do you pray in tongues, Lester Summerall? He said, when I'm not preaching, I'm praying in tongues. What's he saying? All the time. Filling up on God all the time. I mean, Pastor Nancy talks about, you know, all these people. So number one, you got to do something about number two, a life of the Word and a life in the Spirit. Pray. And number four, go back to Ephesians 5 and verse 18. We won't spend a whole lot of time here. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. You know, I remember the show The Biggest Loser, and they'd have people that were struggling with their weight, and it was, you know, they were at the place where, you know, they're going to, it's really a health crisis. And they put them with trainers that, I mean, you can tell by looking at them, their muscles, their definition, the men and the women, they know what they're talking about, right? And they'll put them in front of those people, and they'll say, okay. And you know, they put them in a closed environment where they don't have access to go to the store and to eat wrong, or just to live however they want during the day. They're on a schedule, they're on an eating program. But they tell them in the beginning, you know, your life can be different. Your life can be, and these people have their backstories, and they show how it's hindered them and how their self-esteem, and they've just been, you know, and they'll tell them, you can have this change. This is what we're going to do. And they tell them things, and it's no different than what would tell you and I. You know, we got to change how you're eating. We got to get you moving, and we got to have you do that consistently, right? We got to do the right thing over a long period of time. It's going to result in change. And they'll say that to, and it's like, I can have that. I can start to look like you. I can start to look at myself in the mirror of how I want to see it. And they'll say, yeah, it's available to you. And I'm here telling you tonight, being filled with God will change your whole life. And it's being put right before you tonight. And the only difference for those people is they'll say to them, all you have to do is do what I'm telling you. If you do what I'm telling you, and you work out when I have you work out, and you eat what I'm telling you to eat, if you'll do that over time, I promise you, your life's going to get so much better, so much different for the better. And I'm telling you tonight, if you'll put these things into practice over a consistent amount of time, you will see differences in your life that you'll say, wow, is life better on this side? Whew. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That means ever filled. And then it tells you a specific way you can do that, verse 19. Speaking, because you know there's not a period after Spirit there, and I still don't know if that's a colon or a semicolon, but it's something. What is it? Semi. Because a full colon would have two dots. And it's a semicolon because you don't get the full colon. Is that right? So after Spirit in verse 18, we have a semicolon. So that means it's not done. Thought's not done. How are you going to be filled with the Spirit? Speaking. Now, will you get filled with the Spirit, the Word? Yeah. Will you get filled with the Spirit praying tongues? Yeah, but this is another way. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. That word psalms, there's a whole book of them. I think there's 150 of them. It's like a spiritual ode or poem. You know, they don't have to have rhyme to them, but they kind of have a flow to them, you know, and Spirit of God will give them to you, or they're right there for you in the book where you can sing those or meditate on those. Those are psalms. Hymns is a spiritual song, you know, like when you're singing, you know, a song that's directed to the Lord, you know, and you're singing about Him and worshiping Him, that's a spiritual song, or that's a hymn. And then a spiritual song is a song that the Lord gave you by revelation concerning His Word. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been believing God for healing. I'll get little melodies in my heart concerning healing, and just I'll sing those out, you know, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But I want to show to you what it says in the Amplified, because really we can really kind of lump this into one full thing, and all these would fall into that place. And the Amplified says, do not get drunk with wine, verse 18, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled. There it is, all constantly, because remember, you can't get filled on yesterday's drink. You get drunk on today's drink. You get filled on today's going forward. Be ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now here we go. Offering praise with voices and instrument, making melody with all your heart to the Lord, at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. What's that big picture psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs talking to you? It's saying live a life of praise and worship. Right? Boy, this message sounds like, what did I call them? The Pastor Mike what? The beginning of the coronavirus, remember? The PMA guidelines. It kind of sounds like that. The Pastor Mike Anderson guidelines. The Word, the Spirit, and worshiping God. Way back in like March of 2020, I think it was. Now, because here's what we're going to do. we're going to be, however much time, March 2020 till now, that amount of time has passed. That amount of time is going to go past again. What if and what would our lives have looked like? And if you've done it, praise God. But what if our lives would look like if we would have given ourselves over to this faithfully instead of some of the things we've given ourselves over to or time and attention to? Well, the good news is you can start doing it tonight. You can start going forward. And then when that amount of time passes, there's no doubt you're going to look back and say, wow, sure glad I did that. Why? Because I have people that come up to me and tell me, Pastor, it's been months I've been doing this. Everything changed. See, Romans 4 and verse 20, we'll close with this. Romans 4 and verse 20, when you're praising God, constantly making a conscious effort to worship Him, you are ever keeping your mind and your conscience on Him. You're filling with Him. In Romans 4 and verse 20, it says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. What's the result of why a person would stagger at the promise? They're not filled with God. But he was strong in faith. Well, you know when you're strong in faith? When you're full of God. The result of being filled with God is you are not only strong in your love walk, you are strong in your faith walk. You are, praise God. He was strong in faith. Now listen to what it says in the Amplified. He grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. What was he doing? He's giving praise and glory to God. Filling up on him. Why? How are you filled with God? Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What's that basically saying? Rejoicing and worshiping God always. Melody in your heart, psalms to God, spiritual songs he's given you, hymns that you're singing to him. Right? Praise God. Like when you sing Jesus, I love you, and you go about singing that throughout your day. That's a hymn. You're singing that to Him. You're filling up on the Spirit. Well, I sing praises to your name. You're singing that. You're singing a hymn, right? When you're getting in the Psalms, or God gives you a spiritual psalm, or gives you a spiritual song, you're worshiping Him. You're filling up on Him. Remember what He said, in my presence, there's fullness. Well, what is His presence? Praising Him. You're in His presence. He said, I'll inhabit the praises of my people. When you get in the Word, His presence is dwelling in you. When you pray in the Spirit, you're in His presence, because that's where He's at, right? And in His presence, there's fullness. You want fullness? Do these three things. Do these three things. And we'll live full, and full will lead to different. Remember, God's not confused about your answer. God's not afraid of what you're afraid of. The things that's troubling you, not troubling God. So if you can get filled, all those things would be taken care of. Answers would come, strength would come, faith would come, calmness would come, peace would come. Glory to God. Well, we took some time to worship Him tonight. We took some time to fill up His Word. Let's do one of the three. Let's take some time to pray in the Spirit now, okay? Father, we thank You for the opportunity to fill up on You. And Holy Ghost, we thank You for the utterance as we pray in tongues tonight. Now, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, now let me say this. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues, remember this. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God, I do it more than all of you. One of the gravest mistakes, and why am I saying this? I don't know everybody's background. I don't know everybody that's listening. That people have is when they experience or encounter something that either they've been taught different or they're not sure of, the mind instantly wants to go to, that's wrong, that's not God. No, the humble heart that wants God, if you've been with me, you know I'm a preacher of the Word. You know that I share only what the Word says. Take time, just because you're uncomfortable with it or your mind tells you no, take time to at least see, is this guy off his rocker or is there something maybe I just don't know? Amen? But let's go ahead and let's lift our voice. Holy Ghost, we thank You for the utterance. Let's lift it in the Spirit right now. Begin to pray in other tongues. Hallelujah. Building yourself up. We'll just pray for 5 or 10 minutes. You don't need it, brother. I'll just stand up tonight. Thank you, sir. Now, you keep praying tongues, and I'm going to say this because someone needs to hear this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that when I pray in the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful. So the mind is not supposed to understand this, and that's okay. it comes from your heart, out of your mouth. Jesus said, they that believe on me will speak in new tongues. It's an unknown language. You're not supposed to understand it. So don't let that trip you up. And if you want to be filled with the Spirit, we'll do it like they did in the Bible. Come forward, I'll minister to you. Many people in this room right now, if you're not filled, I don't know who is, who isn't. If you're not filled, have received it by coming up and receiving it. I'd love to pray with you, lay hands on you, and have you speak in tongues. It'd be easy, be simple. So that's available to anybody that would want that tonight. Yes, atonai soto cortese, yes, trapa hantu sucura dasata, treste meho tosa carete sendrede, trasta vistra macuta et asotromo socorte, treste vesto mostrata, testre vestro tostrata massiti, tramba hurtrucuta, a satra, ye necrota, Evre me hutrandaya ma tasa brakuta nesedre. Trese ventros kotrapasita, trava sutra maya taskor trostoto. Drama ya tuskura maya taska robutase. Yese tora nasiklandota. Trapa endosukundra nasa trepete. Trapa tuskutra mama sutrun kutrosko trotoso. Treste veto pun kutra mama se tesetre. Yestre me kutus truputu. Tramasayato, 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 tramasayato. Yeah, yeah, mas kutrosko tro. Ambram betete, ambram betete. Leto stroma kita suparesendo. Draba so kutropo so tropo. Dreme, dreme, dreme to sokondra basikita sota, tresto volte le meto sudramba, trapa, trapa ngeto sotropo sita. Dreme gutara sacramate sotropoto, vrete sembrento kustra mamata sikiti, treste vedo no sandramana, le me quero to sotropoto, trapa si, trapa sungrata se drebeto sata. Now brandu sacrate bestroto, vlendo musa, vlendo mostra, trapa si trama guato tashe trepe so, prete so tanda si kitisutro. Yes tremeto so, yes amrantam, yes, yes, yes. Angels, you go before that, you go before that. I see that. You go before that and you form a hedge, a protection around that situation, bearing them up in your hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. No evil will befall them, no plague will come near their dwelling. I thank you, Father, for divine supernatural protection, not only in their body, but in their mind and in their heart. Yes, yes, a protection, a supernatural protection. Ah, pro quota nisiti, plato quota namesetre, ne plenco matosata suramate, tarunumate secreto mostrata astrate, telo vosuntan da misicrita vastropa, trapate sutra pamate sendreguato, o rama sutura shangitasa. Yeso, yeso talatu samata, treto mata liminko matuska, tresta varo mukurta sata. Na brayanto koto, yesa mato sate desenclento to stropo, trasta mita to stromata te strepete, lata muskutra mata. Ya mato satra basatre. Plato sata, plato se, placutasa, plato sandrata, dreste mencutra, pasiquito soprote, ero posandraba, cutare strenguato, stropotostroto. Yetra, 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 sombrota, sita rosata. Narmo cutande se trefese, vlendo buscotra, papasiquiti, satrapa patoso, yestra mamotoso, tramamatiskiti. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voice and praise Him together. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. I thank you every heart was stirred here tonight. And I know we're all born again in here. And if you're listening, get a hold of me if you'd say, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I want to explain some things to you over the phone of how to get there and go through the Bible, what it says. And if you're listening and you say, well, I just don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I go to heaven. I can help you with that. And so reach out to me. There should be a number on the website or an email address or both, and we'll help you with that. But Father, we're thrilled with you, Father. We're thrilled with your plan and your purposes. Father, these last 2 weeks have the opportunity to change everything going forward. Rearrange some things, turn some things around. And Father, I pray that it would be branded in each person. And Father, I give you the praise and glory for it. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I sure love and appreciate all of you. I'll see you on Sunday morning for our Christmas service. You are dismissed.